Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I don't know if the folks at the Whitney Museum had a crystal ball or a prescient about a pandemic or were just living up to the institution's history for thinking creatively about what art is, but for years, the Whitney has had an online portal of exclusive interactive art made specifically for the internet to be experienced on demand. It has been around since 2001. Artport is an online portal of collaborative game-like exhibits made to be scrolled, clicked, even edited, some of them. You can participate in exhibitions like the world's first collaborative sentence or a live painting session lasting over 1,000 hours. The latest exhibition is New York Apartment. It's essentially the New York apartment listings of your dreams or maybe your nightmares. You can swipe, watch, and scroll your way through more than 2,000 rooms, 15,000 bathrooms, 2,000 gyms, thousands more amenities. And the piece poses questions in the form of a real estate ad that include this run. Are you looking to do a lease or rent or own a home? Are you looking to get into a home? Are you a discerning home buyer? Are you priced out of other neighborhoods? Are you ready for the next level? Are you ready for this one? Are you ready to fall in love? New York Apartment is the work of artists Sam Levine and Tiga Brain. Artport is curated by Christian Paul, adjunct curator of New Media Arts at the Whitney. And we have Sam and Christian with us today. Sam, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And Christian, we're so happy to have you as well.
Hello, thanks for having us.
So, Christiana, as I mentioned, this has been around since way before hashtag stay home. What was the original vision for Artport, and how did you want Artport to engage visitors differently than a physical museum?
Yeah, well, net art has a long history. It came about in the early 90s when the World Wide Web was launched, and it has gone through waves of popularity. In the mid-90s, there was a big push, and particularly towards the end of the 90s, museums realized we have to do something about this. And I was hired in 2000 and started Artport, as you have mentioned, in 2001, just basically to bring attention to this art form. I think it has regained a lot of attention recently, but although we wouldn't have wished for this situation, it currently is the only art that can be experienced in its native form and medium online.
When you're considering something for Artport, how do you look at it differently than you would for something in the gallery?
It is indeed a very different medium and a very different platform to use, but artists have been working with it for a long time. So they are as experienced as a painter or a sculptor in making the best use of their medium. And like every other curator, I really look for sophistication and excellence in bringing a project online. It's not about, oh, it has to be very interactive. It's really about doing justice to the content. And New York Apartment was one of the works that I was really interested in when I started talking to Sam and Tiga about it and about its potential.
Now, Sam, you've created online work before. When you think about what something your work needs to have to engage someone who is sitting in their home, possibly distracted by other things, what do you think about when you're creating?
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, so I like to think about what we can learn about the world based on information that's kind of already on the internet, but maybe sort of hiding in plain sight, right? So I like to think about how can we take stuff that's already out there and then through a process of maybe filtering it or reordering it or kind of representing it, how can you make some kind of critique or some kind of statement that wouldn't be immediately obvious without that process? So I sort of like to think a lot about data. And the technique that I use is most frequently web scraping. And web scraping is just when you write a computer program to kind of act on your behalf and browse the web for you and download material off of it.
So with all of that in mind, how does that apply what you think about, what you do, to New York apartment?
Sure. So one of the things that Tegan and I have been thinking a lot about lately, and I think a lot of people have also, is kind of like what do we as a society allow to be a commodity, and what do we not allow to be a commodity? I mean, I think right now a lot of people are thinking about this in terms of healthcare, right? But of course also housing is a commodity, and it's one that I think we need to really seriously consider if it should be a commodity or not. And this is also, of course, related to what's going on right now with the pandemic. But so we were thinking a lot about, like, what should be a commodity, what shouldn't be a commodity, and, of course, real estate came into this. And so we were, you know, really interested in sort of, like, what are all the ways in which real estate, this thing that, you know, perhaps should be a human right, like, what are all the ways in which it becomes a commodity, and how can we really figure out a good way of representing that and expressing it? So what we did is we wrote a program that downloaded every single for sale listing in all of New York City and, you know, all the boroughs, right? So it downloads all of these listings, and there's, like, you know, thousands and thousands of them. And then another program, after they're all downloaded, kind of like goes through and sorts it all together, right? So what makes a real estate listing? A real estate listing has a description, right? It has images. It might have video tours. It might have a floor plan. And, of course, it has the facts and the figures, like the total price, the total bedrooms, the total bathrooms, the square footage, all that stuff. So New York Apartment takes all these downloaded listings and kind of combines them into this one mega listing that's, I guess, yeah, either utopian or super dystopian, depending on how you're looking at it. But yeah, so the total price ends up being $43 billion. There's 65,000 bedrooms, 55,000 bathrooms, and 36 million square feet. And then, you know, we have all the language, so like all the descriptions of the apartments, all the questions in the apartments, all the combinations of adjectives and nouns. So it was nice to hear you reading some of those in the beginning. And I love just like kind of looking through this and seeing how, you know, how you take something that, again, it might be a human need, a human necessity, and how you transform it into an object of desire, right? So it's like amazing amenities, amazing appliances, amazing beaches, amazing bathrooms, amazing bones, amazing boutiques, amazing cafes, you know, stuff like that over and over and over again.
Yeah, all those questions, also, when you take them in en masse like that, it's really, it's interesting. It can be engaging. It can be entrancing. It can be feel like an assault at the same time. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And I do think it's so fascinating to kind of read and look through it.
Christiane, yeah. You want to jump in?
I also think New York Apartment is such a great portrait of our city in a quite critical way, I would say, because it really points to all of the differences in class and all the aspects of our society by collapsing them into one and thereby highlighting them. Even the language you're quoting, of course, also subtly differs depending on the target group that the realtors go towards. You know? So I think we learn a lot about the commercial space, but also the space we collectively inhabit, for better or worse.
Now, Sam, does this feel different to you now, given the moment we're in? Your piece?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, again, like, I think that this current crisis that we're in is sort of, it's just surfacing a lot of questions that maybe many of us already had, but it's making them even more urgent than they were before, perhaps, or maybe more people who are kind of waking up to some of them. And so, you know, obviously, like, you know, I'm in a, you know, like a one bedroom apartment, and you think a lot about what's in the apartment, and also you think a lot about, you know, who might not have an apartment right now, who might not have housing, who maybe can't pay their rent right now, and what's going to happen, right? So I think that this project is for me, it's taken on more of an urgency than it did before. And there's also kind of like this fantastical, I mean, one of the things that we did in the project is we also kind of combined all these video tours of different real estate listings. So you can kind of go on this, I think it's like a 3 or maybe almost 4 hour tour of just all of these different bedrooms and bathrooms and kitchens. And then we also made, took all the floor plans, right, and kind of extruded them into 3D shapes and created these virtual spaces that you could explore as well. So I think there's something, definitely really interesting to think about right now.
My guests are artist Sam Levine and adjunct curator Christiane Paul. We're talking about the Whitney's Art Portal and Sam's work, New York Apartment. So Sam, what is something you observed or you made you think about us as humans after working on this piece? This piece about homes and the way we try to consume and the way we live or how we think we want to live.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that's really funny about a lot of this stuff is that, well, first of all, like, I've never owned a place in New York, you know, and most of my friends never have either. So, you know, we're dealing with rentals, and this project is about sales, right? But one thing that I think is really funny is this sort of, like, disjunct between all of this marketing language and the kind of realities of actually, like, looking for a place. Most of the people I know, including myself, like, you're not really looking at all these marketing terms because you're just desperate to find any place at all, you know? And so I think that there's a kind of, there's a sort of funny disjunct there for me. And of course, the other thing is just thinking about the terrible inequality that so many people experience in New York. I mean, one of the things that I really, one of the sort of components of the project that was really interesting to make was this, we made like a mortgage calculator. Like most apartment listings have a mortgage calculator, right? Mm-hmm. So you can sort of put in your salary and see what your monthly fees are going to be, you know, and how long it'll take to pay off the apartment. So, you know, like if I put in my salary and I run it through the mortgage calculator that we made, and we make the assumption that many people do, that you should pay about 30% of your household income towards housing costs, right? So if that's the assumption, then the portion of the apartment that I could afford is 0.00000068%.
Wow.
And I think that's a really interesting thing to think about also.
So we've been talking about the piece that's there now, but Christiane, as I said, this has been, you've had this going on since 2001. Can we access previous works?
Yes, through the homepage, you can actually go to all of the works. We highlighted the more recent ones because some of the ones from the 90s are not working anymore. We're hard at work always with our preservation department at the Whitney to bring them all back online. You actually mentioned one by Douglas Davis, the world's longest collaborative sentence, which we brought back to life at some point. So yeah, all of the more than 100 projects are technically still accessible. And we're commissioning 4 new ones a year.
That's so exciting. And Sam, I did want to talk on one thing before I let you go. Is you're also a game designer.
I used to be a game designer.
Yep. How has that influenced your work, your artwork?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the kinds of games that I made were games that you would play in the real world. So you'd go outside and kind of like explore the city. And the way that it did actually, like, you know, it was a lot of it was based on this situationist practice of psychogeography, where you're trying to figure out the ways in which urban planning kind of forces you into particular flows, and then the games that we would make would attempt to kind of break out of those flows. And that kind of thinking has been really influential in all of my work, and certainly including my online work.
You should check it out. It's New York Apartment by Sam Levine and Tiga Brain. My guests have been Sam and Christiane Paul, adjunct curator of New Media Arts for the Whitney Museum of American Art. Christiane, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much. It was a lot of fun.
And Sam, you too.
Thank you.